This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursalin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Since the last session, we were discussing the maidens of Jannah, and there's a lot more to be discussed about the maidens of Jannah. It seems a very prominent aspect of paradise, especially for men. So while we discussed some aspects of the maidens last week, in the last session, today we look at the verses in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين. So this is إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء. We have created them. We have originated them. We have made them. And there's an emphasis there. We have surely made them. Now there's a bit of a different discussion. There's a bit of a difference of opinion as to what exactly it means that we've made them. Does it mean that this is speaking about the women of the world, and this is referring to the women of the world, and they'll just be resurrected and recreated anew in a new form, and this is what it's referring to? Or is it referring to a whole new creation that is specifically a creation for paradise, maidens of paradise? We've had a bit of that discussion before. So according to Qatada and Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he says that this is a new creation. Actually, not a new creation. This is the women of the world who've just been created in a new form. I mean, every human being will be in a new form, be resurrected. It will be resurrection and then a recreation of that. So it's not talking about, according to these two, it's not talking about a new original creation, but rather the creation of the women of the world just being recreated in paradise, just like all human beings. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, "Yuridu nisa al-adamiyat." This is referring to the women from humans, human women. And likewise, Kalbi and Muqatil, these are other mufassirs of the Quran, exegetes of the Quran. They say that, yeah, this is talking about the women of the dunya that were maybe very enfeebled, or maybe they were old in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after them having become old and everything else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a new creation. So that's a reality that's going to happen anyway, because every man and woman that goes to paradise is going to be in a very youthful form of 33 years of age. That's definite anyway. Doesn't preclude the fact that there are also other maidens there. Adam ibn Abi Iyas, he says, he relates from Salama ibn Yazid that he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying about inna ansha'nahunna insha'a, that this is referring to those women who were either married or unmarried, virgin, non-virgin, that used to be in the dunya. So they've actually got a tafsir of this verse from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well, saying that this is referring to women of this world. Another narration is that from Hassan, he says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La yadkhul jannata," in paradise, no old woman will enter. So there was an old woman there, she began to cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Tell her, inform her, that she will not be old then. She will not be old in paradise. Innaha yawma idhin shabba." She will be youthful, young. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says inna ansha'nahunna insha'a. So he used this particular verse to support what he said, that this verse is particularly referring to that. Aisha radiallahu anha relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once was visited by an older woman of the Ansar. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me, pray for me, that Allah enters me into paradise. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Innal jannah la yadkhuluha ajuz. No old woman is going to enter paradise. Paradise, no old woman will enter it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went off to pray. When he came back to Aisha radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha said, she was really, really perturbed. It really, really bothered her what you said. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's exactly like that though. That's what it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He enters them into paradise, He's going to change them into young women. This is unintended consequence of something you say sometimes. You say something and there's somebody in the room, in the audience, that will take a different meaning. And they could get offended sometimes. Now I've been thinking of this for a while. Sometimes you will say something, especially in some sensitive cases, and those people who have a very harsh approach to things, they think you're being too soft. And in the same audience, there'll be other people saying, that's a very wise approach you took. Some people think you're being very soft. Others will say, no, that's a wise approach. And yet there'll be others who may say that you're being too harsh. You need to take it easy even more. You can't please everybody. Everybody has their own perspective towards things. But we should try to develop the prophetic wisdom and the prophetic equilibrium in understanding things and in reacting to things. That's everyone's responsibility, both the scholar who's teaching and both those who are listening, is to try to understand. If they feel that the scholar who's considered to be a wise individual sometimes, but this particular aspect of what he's saying seems to be very harsh, then is it just because I'm too liberal? And those who think it's too harsh or too liberal, they should wonder whether it is just being too harsh. I've been to places where sometimes they will say, why don't you just give it to them? It's not the right approach. For some people, they just want to say a few things in a very harsh way, regardless of whether people understand it or not. They just want to say things in a harsh way, expecting that people should just understand. So these are very, very complicated things. That's why the work of any teacher, da'i, imam, leader, it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult. Anyway, so you can see from here that she took the wrong meaning. And it says, مِن كَلِمَتِكَ لَقَدْ لَقِيَتْ مِن كَلِمَتِكَ مَشَقَّةً وَشِدَّةً. It was very hard on her. You know, she found it very harsh, very difficult. Prophet said, no, it's right. He was still in the same mode thinking, but that's right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to turn them into young women when they go into Jannah. However, so all of this kind of supports the fact that inna ansha'nahunna insha'a refers to women of this world who will be recreated in new form, young form in paradise. Again, that's fine. It doesn't preclude the fact and it doesn't deny the fact that there will be a new creation in paradise. However, others, like Muqatil, they've taken this particular verse to refer to a whole new creation, that it's referring to Hurul'een, Al-Hurul'een, and not the women of paradise. Sorry, not the women of this world who will be in paradise. That's why it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create this new creation, these of new maidens, for those who are His awliya and those whom He loves, who will enter into paradise. It will be for them. There will be a special creation. And that's why they say that Allah emphasizes this by saying, inna ansha'nahunna insha'an. This will be a new creation. So, you know this emphasis here. Anshatnahunna means we will recreate them, we will originate them. Insha'an. The second group will take this to mean a new creation. That's why there's that emphasis there. For those who understand Arabic, they'll appreciate this a bit more. Then they provide a number of proofs for that. We're not going to go into all of that, because at the end of the day, I think we can all agree, based on the narrations here, that there will be, the women of this world will be present there in a new form of being young, everybody, whether they die young or old in this world, and there will be a new creation. Then the verse which says, عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا. عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا. What does that mean? أَتْرَابًا, I think we've already dealt with, but عُرُوبًا is the plural of عَرُوب. عُرُوبًا is the plural of عَرُوب. And as I mentioned, in these few sessions, we will deal with, inshallah, every word in the Quran that refers to the maidens of Jannah, so we can get a good, thorough understanding of that. So, عُرُوبًا, plural of عُرُوب, which means المتحببات إلى أزواجهن. Very loving, very adoring to their spouses. What a wonderful description. They will be عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا. Ibn al-A'rabi says, Al-Arubu min al-Nisa al-Muti'ah li zawjiha al-Mutahabbibati ilayhi. He describes a woman who's Arub, right, of this description, is somebody who's very obedient to their spouse and very loving and adoring of their spouse. It's a wonderful characteristic. Mufassirin, other Mufassirin, they've commented on this verse by saying, إِنَّهُنَّ الْعَوَاشِقِ الْمُتَحَبِّبَاتِ الْغَنِجَاتِ الشَّكِلَاتِ الْمُتَعَشِّقَاتِ الْغَلِمَاتِ الْمَغْنُوجَاتِ. These are all their words. And essentially, these are words for the same meaning or similar meaning used by Arabs of different places. That's essentially what it is. It just tells you the richness of the Arabic language. That's why Imam Bukhari says in his Sahih, عُرُوبًا, when he describes عُرُوبًا, he says, مُثَقَّلَةٌ وَاحِدُهَا عَرُوب. Right? This is عُرُوب. It's plural of عَرُوب. Like صَبُور and صُبُر. أَهْلُ مَكَّةٍ refer to them as عَرِيبًا. أَهْلُ مَدِينَةٍ refers to them as غَنِيجًا. Right? This is probably... And I said, this is quite French for most of you. It's Arabic, that's why, right? If you don't understand it. But I'm just trying to say, the Ahlul Iraq, they refer to it as Shakila. But essentially what it means is adoring, loving, flirtatious, amorous. So all what a person would like in a wife, this is what these words describe. They're loving, but they're not docile. They're not so innocent that they don't know what to do, right? This is, by the way, this lesson is going to be a bit graphic, right? This lesson is supposed to be a bit graphic because this is talking about some very manly, mature things, all right? So what these words mean is very flirtatious, amorous. So though they're just focused on their husband, but they know how to act, they know how to make it exciting. They know how to excite the man, and these words is what describes all of these things. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you understand from all of these verses and their tafsir is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined in these women a beautiful, lovely, pretty, attractive appearance of true beauty, not just of attractiveness. One has to start making a distinction between true beauty and just being attractive. Attractive is, a lot of the time, a woman may seem attractive. Any person may just seem attractive based on the clothing that they're wearing, the type of clothing, the tightness of the clothing, the curvature of the body, makeup. But there's no real beauty in terms of what even the experts would consider beauty is no such thing. It's just attractiveness, adornment, nothing below it. It's a mask of attractiveness. Here we're speaking about pure beauty for every single person and wonderful interaction, beautiful interaction in every sense of it. And this is exactly what is a man would want from a woman. This is how a man's pleasure would be complete and fully achieved and accomplished if he has that in a woman. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ, which means these are complete virgins as well, untouched. No man or jinn has ever touched them. And this adds an additional psychological aspect, that I am the first person to be with this woman. That adds an additional source of excitement, a source of accomplishment and satisfaction that I am the first person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combines between the psychological, between the physiological and everything, just to make this really the best thing that's out there. And this is just by our words of this world and description. What the reality will provide to us will be something even beyond that we can't even explain in words. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naba, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابًا وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا. So while he speaks about here orchards and other things, he says وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا. Now what does كَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا mean? This is a description of women again. أَتْرَابًا we've already dealt with. Means that they will be your age, your match. Perfectly suited to you. Exactly for you. Not too immature for you and not over for you. It's just perfect for you. I can see some guys are getting really excited here. Well, it's something to be excited about. Feel free to be excited. This is the whole purpose of what the Quran is telling us this. Right? It's supposed to encourage us. I mean, this is paradise, the only way you're going to get paradise is to work hard. So it's definitely something to be excited about. So don't feel guilty about feeling excited. So let's just look at kawa'iba atraban, because that's our discussion here. Kawa'ib is the plural of ka'ib. Ka'ib, which means an-nahid. This is what Qatada and Mujahid of the Mufassirin said. Kalbi says it means hunnal mufallakat. اللواتي تكعب ثديهن وتفلكت. If you could understand Arabic, I wouldn't have to translate it. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to translate it. They are of rounded breasts. They will have rounded breasts. And what this word comes from is to be rounded. The meaning is that they will have full, prominent, and protuberant breasts. Just like pomegranates, karruman. This is not mentioned in the Quran, this is the description, this is the commentaries. Karruman, laysat mutadalliya ila asfal. And they will not be hanging down, they will be perky. Wa yusammayna nawahid wa kawa'ib. And that's what it means. By the way, the word nahid for a boy is fine. It means the young boy who's very close to becoming mature. But for a woman, the word nahida, nahid, means the one with full breasts, with perked breasts. That's what it means. And unfortunately, there's people who have that name, right? It's just people don't know that. That's what it means, and it's a very popular name in some quarters. Imam Bukhari relates. Now, for women. Of course, this is a discussion focused at men, because for them, this is the attraction. For women, there's numerous other attractions that we've been discussing and we will discuss. Imam Bukhari relates in his Sahih from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَغَدْوَةٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْرَوْحَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Just the morning, small amount of a morning or an evening spent in the path of Allah will be superior to the dunya and everything it contains. And he continues, and he says that just a small place, as much as the bow of your bow or your whip in paradise, is superior to the dunya and everything within. So he's saying, spend time in the path of Allah, and you will get what is superior to the dunya and everything within it as well. And then he says, if one of the women of paradise was just to look out to the world, just to look out, like somehow come out and just look towards the world, it will just fill it with absolutely beautiful fragrance. it will make it shine. And just the cloth on her head that she's garbed with, that is superior to the dunya and everything within it. That's the description. Again, in Bukhari and Muslim, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first people to enter, the first group that will enter into Jannah, they will be like the full moon on the 14th night. And for every one of them, they will have two spouses. Every person who will go into Jannah from there will have two spouses. And then he describes them that you can see the marrow of their shin, their calves, from behind the flesh. That's something, I don't know, it's like a hologram effect or something of that nature which we can't understand. وَمَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ عَزَبٍ. There's going to be no single men in paradise, or single women for that matter. So you want to stay single, paradise, you're not going to be single. Imam Ahmad relates in another narration from Ibn Sirin, who relates from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for every man in Jannah, there will be two spouses from the Hurul Ain. And upon every one of those spouses will be 70 suits, 70 layers of clothing. And you can see the marrow of the shins, of the calves, from behind the garments. Some wonderful, intricate way that they would do that. Now, so far, we've dealt with the Sahih narrations in which it mentions two spouses. Okay, keep that in mind. The Sahih narrations mention two spouses. Those are the three narrations we've just mentioned here. Then there's a wonderful narration by Imam Tabarani. This is a weak narration, but let's see what it says. And there was somebody last week that was asking about how many spouses somebody's going to get in paradise. So I said, just wait. So far we know you've got two. Every man will have two spouses, for sure. That much is beyond any kind of... you can't deny that. That is something beyond any kind of denial. However, this narration, there are two famous narrations here that I'm going to quote. And they have become very popular in the last several years with all of the... in the media. This is where most of that comes from. This is a narration related by Imam Tabarani from Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, explain to me about Allah's words in the Quran, wa hurun een. What does hurun een mean? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hurun means white, and eenun means wide-eyed. So wide-eyed maidens. Then she said, I asked him, tell me about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, كَأَنَّهُمْ لُؤْلُؤٌ مَكْنُونَ. They are as hidden pearls. What does that mean? So he says that, oh, they will be so pure and clear and refined, just like the pearl when it comes out of its shell, and no hand has yet touched it and polluted it. Just the pure, unadulterated, unpolluted pearl. Absolutely refined. Then I said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about Allah Azza wa Jal, his words, Fihinna khayratun hisan. Now she's a woman, she's asking about this. What kind of women are they going to be in paradise? Tell me about khayratun hisan. Who are they? It says, khayratul akhlaq. One of the most excellent in character. Hisanul wujuh. And prettiest in appearance. Prettiest in appearance, wonderful character. That's why today you have spouses that are very good to look at, but then they're very nasty. And there are others who may have good character, but they're not very pretty to look at. If you've managed to get both, then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't, then do sabr, and Allah will give you satisfaction. But in paradise you'll have both. And this is the same for women to men. They have the same thing. They have a man who looks cool, dresses up, flashes his wallet around all the time, but very bad attitude. He's always looking at others. He's always flirting with others. Right? You have the same challenges, both sides. Anyway, so that's what the Prophet ﷺ described. Then she said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about Allah's words, كَأَنَّهُنَّ بَيْضٌ مَكْنُونَ. So, بَيْضٌ مَكْنُونَ. That's another word. Hidden and the... He says, رِقَّتُهُنَّ كَرِقَّةِ الْجِلْ الَّذِي رَأَيْتُ فِي دَاخِ الْبَيْضَةِ مِمَّا الْقِشْرِ. You know when you have an egg, and it, let's just say a boiled egg, you know you have that, after you've taken the outer shell off, it has a skin before the white of the egg. It says that the refinement and the fineness of the skin is that which you see inside an egg. Right? Then she said, tell me about Allah's words, عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا, which we've just described, عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا. It says, these are the ones who would have died in this world as old women. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them young and virgin in the paradise. عُرُوبًا مُتَعَشِّقَاتْ مُحَبِّبَاتْ, which I described, very loving and adoring. And أَتْرَابًا, meaning your match in terms of age. Then she said, I asked, Ya Rasulullah, نِسَاءُ الدُّنْيَا أَفْضَلْ أَمِ الْحُورُ الْعِينَ. Are the women of the world superior or these hurul ain that you describe? Which are superior? May Allah bless her for asking these questions. He says, بَلْ نِسَاءُ الدُّنْيَا أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْحُورِ الْعِينَ كَفَضْلِ الظِّهَارَةِ عَلَى الْبِطَانَةِ. Clearly the women of this world would be superior to the hurul ain, just like the outer part of a garment is superior to the inner lining. What's the lining? It's just there, you know. The outer part is what everybody sees and what's beautiful. Why? وَبِمَ ذَاكَ. And she wants to know why. She says, why? She says, because of their prayer and their fasting and their worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will garb their faces with light. Allah will cause light to shine from their faces, and their bodies will be like silk, will be garbed in silk. Bidul alwan, they'll be white in their complexion. Khudur thiyab, green, they will have green garments and clothing. And they will have beautiful adornment, huli. Majamiruhun ad-dur, wa amshatuhun ad-dhahab, where they get their bakhur from, that will be made of pearl. Their combs, hairbrushes, whatever you want to use, that will be made of gold. They will be saying, they will be declaring, نَحْنُ الْخَالِدَاتْ فَلَا نَمُوتْ. We are now forever. We will never die. وَنَحْنُ النَّاعِمَاتْ فَلَا نَبْأَسْ أَبَدًا. You know, we are wonderful, excellent. We're never going to become bad. And continues, we're always satisfied, we will never get angry. طُوبَى لِمَنْ كُنَّا لَهُ وَكَانَ لَنَا. And glad tiding for the one whom we are made for, and they for us. قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Now she asked another very important question, which is especially important, pertinent for women. And she's coming from a woman's perspective. It says, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الْمَرْأَ مِنَّا تَتَزَوَّجْ زَوْجَيْنِ وَالثَّلَاثَ وَالْأَرْبَعَ ثُمَّ تَمُوتْ فَتَدْخُلْ الْجَنَّةِ. Unfortunately, this doesn't happen as much today, while it should, because there's a need for this. It says that there are many women among us who've been married to two husbands in their life. One died, one divorced, got another one. Right? Or three or even four. And then she dies. She goes to Jannah. They also all come inside. So she's had four husbands who've died, let's just say. They've all in paradise now. She's asking, right, so none of them are left in hellfire. They're all in Jannah now. One woman, four husbands. مَنْ يَكُونْ زَوْجُهَا. Which one? Now, this is the wonderful answer. He says, oh, Musalama, she's going to be given a choice. She's going to be given a choice. فَتَخْتَارْ أَحْسَنَهُمْ خُلُقًا. And she will obviously pick the best of character, the best one of character. فَتَقُولْ أَيْ رَبْ. She will say, oh my Lord, إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ أَحْسَنُهُمْ مَعِي خُلُقًا فِي دَارِ الدُّنْيَا فَزَوِّجْنِيهِ. This one had the best conduct with me, so marry me to him. O Umm Salama, good character has taken both has taken both the benefits of this dunya and the akhirah. That's basically the secret of it. Now, what's going to happen to the other three? Well, there'll be other single women that they can marry. Right? So everybody's going to be married. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created exactly. Right? That's why generally there's always more women in the world, and increasingly so, there's more women in the world than men. However, just to let you know, while this hadith is very spectacular in its description, very graphic, however, it's not a sahih narration according to many. It's got weaknesses because some of the narrators are weak, Abu Hatim, etc. They say that, right, that they're weak. So it's a weak narration. There was no number in there. It just mentioned that there were women of this world and women of the akhirah, right? There was no number of... Was there any number in here? There was no particular number of Hurul Ain, was there? Right. Now let's look at the next narration. Abu Ya'la, Imam Abu Ya'la al-Mawsili, he relates from Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradi, from one of the Ansar, from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, while we were in a group of his companions, he mentioned the hadith about the sur, about the blowing of the trumpet. I said, "My Lord, you have promised me intercession. So give me intercession with regards to the people of paradise so that they can enter." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I've given you intercession, go ahead. And I've given you permission for you to allow them to enter paradise." Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "By the one who has sent me with the truth." Now after discussing that, he said to the companions that, "By the one who sent me with the truth, you people in the dunya are not more aware of their husbands, of their spouses and their places of living than the people of Jannah will be aware of their spouses and their places of living." Meaning, just as you know exactly where you live and where your house is and who your spouse is, likewise in paradise, people will exactly know who is for them. So a person, now this is where you get your number from. Who was asking last week about how many? This is where the number comes from, right? Somebody was asking last week. So a person is going to enter upon 72 virgins. This is where that 72 number comes from. You know, it was in the media, right? When the suicide bombing took place. This is where it comes from. It's a weak narration, but it's there. Among 72 spouses of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create, and two from the women of the world. So according to this narration, a man is going to have two women of this world, his wife of this world, and if he's been married twice, then obviously them, and if he's been married more, then probably them as well, I would assume, right? If he's married four, you'd probably get them as well. But minimum two. You can see the glimmer in somebody's eyes. MashaAllah. It's a different world. Allah make us worthy of Jannah. Allah make us worthy of His satisfaction. To be honest, that's really what matters most. Allah make us worthy of Allah's satisfaction. So everyone will enter upon 72 women that Allah has created in paradise, and two of human women. And they will have distinction over those that Allah has created for paradise. So the women of the world will be superior. Why? Because of their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya. Now a person will enter onto one of them. He will go to visit one of them. And this will be in a room made of ruby, on a bed made of gold that will be studded with pearls. This is a very special bed. Right? And upon a number of description of the kind of silk and so on that is described will be covering that bed. he will place his hand between her shoulders. And he will, so like this, from behind the shoulders, in between her shoulder blades, he will be able to see his hand from her chest, between all of the clothing and her flesh and her skin. It's going to be something amazing like that, right? There's a lot, as you can see, there's a lot of this description that you can see through as such. Some beautiful creation. He will be able to see the marrow of her calves, just like one of you would see the string going through a ruby with a hole inside. He will be like this, he will not get bored, she will not be bored of him. Every time he comes to her, he will find that she is a virgin. مَا يَفْتُرُ ذَكَرُهُ وَلَا يَشْتَقِي قُبُولُهَا. Now, that's very graphic to translate. But basically, he will never tire in his ability, right? His manhood will never tire, and she will never tire. Now, as he is in this, enjoying it, he is not tiring, she is not tiring. And as they're in this state, somebody is going to call out to them and said, we know that you're not going to be bored of this. And you're not going to lose interest. Except that you've got other wives as well. There are other spouses waiting as well. So then he will eventually come out. Because humans, at the end of the day, they like you. He will then go to each one after the other. And every time he comes to one of them, she will say that, Wallahi, in Jannah, there is nothing superior to you. There is nothing more beloved to me than you in paradise. As I mentioned, this is a very graphic narration. And I can now understand that if this narration was used to rally some troops, right? You can imagine where that would go. I mean, I didn't even do it in very graphic ways, but can you just imagine somebody who's there trying to rally the troops to go do something? You know, you can see how this could be used, and people just like, absolutely, let's go, bismillah, let's go. I'm sick of this world. I've had a bad marriage before. I'd rather go for this. And that's why this became a very big deal. That's what it seems like. That's why many non-Muslims, they think this is mentioned in the Quran, 72 verses. I said, look, I've never come across that. Because this is a very obscure narration. It's not a very popular narration. It's a weak narration. And it's only, I think there's only Ismail ibn Rafi who's related this. So it's a weak narration. It's not a fabricated, I haven't said it's a fabricated narration. So there's a narration like this. This Ismail ibn Rafi, who's the narrator of this, Imam Tirmidhi has narrations from him, and so has Ibn Majah. Imam Ahmad has considered him to be weak, and so has Yahya ibn Ma'in and others. Imam Daraqutni says that some of his hadith have been abandoned. Ibn Adi says many of his narrations do have some, they're contentious. Right? Imam Tirmidhi concludes that some of the people of knowledge have considered him to be weak, but I have heard Imam Muhammad, Muhammad, yani Imam Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail Bukhari was his teacher, saying that huwa thiqatun muqaribul hadith, that he's reliable, his hadith, they're reliable. Right? So the narration exists. There's another narration from Abdullah ibn Wahab from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the lowest person in paradise will have to, for his disposal, 80,000 khadims throughout his entire estate. His estate is going to be 10 times the size of this world. So 80,000 khadims, you know, it's understandable. For this world, 80,000, I mean, and 72 spouses. That's the lowest person in paradise. وَيُنْصَبُ لَهُ قُبَّةٌ مِّن لُؤْلُؤٍ. There will be a a structure, a dome-like structure that will be set up for him, made out of pearl and ruby and emeralds and pearls, etc. كَمَا بَيْنَ الْجَابِيَةِ وَصَنْعَ between Jabiya and Sana'a, that distance long. Again, whether this narration, there's a lot of difference of opinion about this narration as well. And some have said it's sahih, some have said that he is reliable, the narrator here, and others have said that he's weak. So again, all of these narrations that talks about a huge number, they're all weak, it seems. Majority of them are weak. Abu Nu'aym has another narration from Anas radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِلْمُؤْمِنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ 73 زَوْجَةً. For the believer in paradise, there will be 73 spouses. So we said, Ya Rasulullah, we asked, أَوَلَهُ قُوَّةُ ذَلِكَ. Will he have the strength for that? قَالَ إِنَّهُ لَيُعْطَى قُوَّةَ مِئَةً. He'll be given the strength of 100. So those who are concerned up till now as to, you know, these numbers, like what are we going to do, then don't worry about it, because you're given 100, the strength of 100 people. Abu Shaykh has a narration from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Says, somebody asked, Ya Rasulullah, أَنُفْضِي إِلَىٰ نِسَائِنَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ كَمَا نُفْضِي إِلَيْهِنَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Are we going to have intercourse with our women in paradise just as we do in this world? So he said, by the one, the Prophet ﷺ replied, by the one in whose hand Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life is, a person will be able to have intercourse in one morning with 100 virgins. Again, there's a difference of opinion as to the narrator of this hadith. Who is Zayd ibn Abil Huwara. There's a difference of opinion as to whether he's weak or whether he's reliable. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions that وَحَسْبُ رِوَايَةُ شُعْبَةُ عَنْهُ. He says it's sufficient that Imam Shu'bah has related from him, which means it's a big deal. So he seems to be inclined towards it. Now, to conclude all of this, the absolutely reliable narrations, authenticated narrations, they just talk about having two spouses. That much cannot be denied, right? They rely. And in the Sahih narrations, absolutely the undisputed Sahih narrations, there's no mention of more than two. Now, these other narrations that are on the weaker side, if they are to be taken, then what does it mean? So Ibn al-Qayyim provides a bit of an analysis. He says that what it means is that people will have concubines, which means not his proper wives as the wives of this world, but these will be the maidens of Jannah that he will have over to. And they will get according to their status. So he reckons that not everybody is necessarily going to have 72, but it could be 50, 30, 40, whatever it is, depending on your status. Just like how many servants you're going to have in paradise, just like the size of your paradise. Likewise, the spouses as well. He says there's another possibility, is that, you know, when the Prophet ﷺ described that each person will have the power, the strength of 100 men, then some may have understood that to mean that they will actually have 100 wives or many, many wives. Wallahu alam if that sounds right or not, but that's what he mentions. He says then, there's a narration that Imam Tirmidhi has related in his Jami' from Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُعْطَى الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ قُوَّةُ كَذَا وَكَذَا مِنَ الْجِمَعِ. That every believer is going to be given such and such an amount of strength for sexual intercourse. So somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, awa yutiqu dhalik, can he, is that something he can take on? He says, yes, he will be given the strength of 100. This is a sahih narration. This is a sahih narration about having the strength of 100 men. That much is sahih. So the contention is how many wives you're going to have, more than two. Because two is established, the strength of 100 men is established. However, Ibn al-Qayyim does explain at the end that there is no doubt that a believer in paradise is going to have more than two, because he takes from another sahih narration something that alludes to that. Right? In the sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim, there's a narration of Abu Imran al-Jawni from Abu Bakr ibn Abdullah ibn Qais and from his father that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna lil'abd." Now listen to this carefully. "Inna lil'abd al-mu'min fil jannati la khaymatun min lu'lu'atin mujawwafa." That for a believing servant in paradise will be a structure, a tent, a place of stay made out of hollowed pearl. Tuluha sittuna milan. Its length is going to be 60 miles long. لِلْعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِيهَا أَهْلُونَ. And for this believing servant in there will be family, spouses. فَيَتُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And he will go to each one. لَا يَرَى بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. And each one of them will not be able to see the other. This is sahih, this much is sahih. But it says أهلون, it says spouses, family members as such. What can that mean other than spouses then, if they're your family? So while 72 specific number is not mentioned in a sahih narration, having so much abundant spouses and family is mentioned. So then he concludes that it depends on how much you've done in this world. So you can get excited about 72, but you're going to have to work for that, to get that number. And again, 72 among the Arabs, for them 70 was a number of abundance. Oh, hundreds. It's that kind of a meaning. So the exact number Allah knows best. And that will be based on what a person has done. So now, alhamdulillah, a number of questions have been answered. Because this was always a kind of confusion for many people about this. Especially having heard from the media. Yeah, I guess for a lot of people, they understood from the media that you're supposed to get 72 virgins. What's this all about? So the conclusion is very clear that minimum two, as mentioned in the sahih narrations, and also more than that, as mentioned in the other weaker narrations, but supported by the sahih narration as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy of His pleasure and His satisfaction. وَأَخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ